You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options. Facebook.com/TheOptionsInsider or via questions@TheOptionsInsider.com.
Join us now for the expert source for inside information on the options markets. It's time for Options Insider Radio with your host, Mark Longo.
All right, everybody. That music means it's time once again for Options Insider Radio, the interview program here on the old Options Insider Radio Network, where we welcome on guests from throughout the world of options and derivatives and proceed to pick their brains. For the benefit of you, the listener, my name is Mark Longo from the aforementioned Options Insider Radio Network, as well as, of course, from the ever-fun, ever-compelling OptionsInsider.com. If you like this show and you're not listening, you haven't subscribed to our full network feed via iTunes, or it could be via our website or some of our partner sites or via our app. If you're not getting the whole feed, make sure you head on over there. That gets you our daily news show. That gets you all of our other programs, Option Block, Volatility Views, The Advisor's Option, Trading Tech Talk, TWIFO, all the good programming we put out. I guarantee you, you will not be wanting for options content over there. And of course, however you listen, make sure you send in those questions, those comments. Maybe you have a guest you'd like us to interview on the program. Send them in. We do. Yes, we do like to hear from you guys. And joining me on the program today, he's a newcomer to the show and indeed to the network. He is Mark Casey, the president and CEO over there at AppSella. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Great name, by the way. Can I just say it's very memorable, very strong sounding. I very much approve.
Good deal.
All right, Mark, as we are wont to do with all of our first timers here on the show and indeed on the network, why don't you go ahead and give our listeners a little bit of an overview of your background in the financial technology and the financial markets, and then, of course, how you found your way over there to AppSella.
Sure. My background in capital markets, about 10 years. In the markets, primarily around global U.S. equities and derivatives, came from the communication side of the world and joined AppSella, where we have built a global platform for low latency delivery of high performance securities trading applications.
So, yeah, so there you go. I like it. Brief, straight, and to the point. Well done. And you kind of mentioned it really quickly there, but some of our listeners, I know you guys did rebrand about a year or so ago from CFN Services, or maybe some of our newer listeners may not even be familiar with the AppSella name. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of an overview of the firm and kind of, you know, what you do and maybe some of your product offerings?
Sure. Yeah, the CFN, thanks for bringing that up. We came out, oddly enough, came out of a railroad, believe it or not, CSX. The railroad was CSX Fiber Networks. We were optimizing very broad-scale network challenges for large telecommunications companies like AT&T and MCI back in the late 90s and early 2000s. When we separated from CSX, became CFN Services, and kind of pivoted the business around an opportunity for optimizing networks for very high-performance securities trading applications, and originally did that around just the U.S. equities and derivatives markets. But from sort of 2008 to probably about 2014, expanded that platform globally to, you know, every region and, you know, dozens of liquidity venues worldwide. In 2014, Waters Technologies named us best low latency trading platform for the buy side.
It is always fascinating to me to see the origins of the firms that play in this space. You know, a lot of them come from the places you'd expect. The trader, you know, the need motivates the creation of a platform, and it kind of evolves from there. Necessity is the mother of invention. Other times, firms evolve like yours, completely outside the space, and it just, you know, evolves an existing technology or an existing expertise that they already have and applying it to a new area like capital markets or financial services. So it's always interesting to me to see the routes, the evolution that different firms take. Now, you have a bunch of different offerings over there. You mentioned the connectivity. You also have a trading platform. Let's start with the platform first, maybe because that's kind of, you know, a lot of people like to focus there. Then we'll get into some of the data stuff. What is, you know, we see a lot of different low latency platforms out there, a lot of platforms out there that claim to be the best for whatever reason. You guys obviously are out there. You've built this. You're pretty proud of all the bells and whistles. What is it that really makes AppSella set apart from, you know, you go to FIA, for example, you know, I was there, it was in town about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I'm sure you guys were there as well. You know, there's just hundreds of vendors there operating in all different aspects of the service, including, you know, the space, including the area you guys play in. So what makes you guys, you know, stand apart from that huge crowd in a hall like that?
Well, I think the market has evolved a lot over the last 5 years, right? And continues to chase lowest latency. When you talk absolutely lowest latency and the absolute largest high frequency trading firms, most of the low latency infrastructure, at least the connectivity components delivering market data and execution, has moved to wireless microwave. And so it's very hard to find a single platform that is the absolute best. And today, trading firms are challenged to, you know, piece together the best microwave here, the best microwave there, with you know, the lowest latency undersea cable, because of course microwave can't cross the oceans. You know, where we've really carved out our space is providing a globally optimized low latency platform. So, you know, we're not necessarily going to be the absolute lowest latency microwave between Chicago and New York, or between London and Frankfurt. But we are on a global scale, giving you the absolute best latencies across a wide range of trading venues, right? And so again, it really depends on your requirements and your specialization. If you require that absolute lowest latency down to the microsecond or nanosecond, you're going to have to piece various components of your platform together from a number of those providers that were at FIA.
Let me ask you this question. You know, on our tech show, we've been doing that show for a number of years now. When that show first launched a few years back, the conversation was all about the quote-unquote race to zero. Every firm was spending pretty much every dollar they had to try to get down to be the fastest, the best, the first, you know, all that stuff. Then over the last, you know, year or so, it seems like maybe a year and a half, maybe getting out a little bit past that now, we started to see the impact of growing regulation in the space, siphoning away some of those budgets to other areas that were required by law. And then, of course, we saw also some firms just kind of saying, you know, this race to zero is literally a race to zero. We're literally spending all of our money to keep up with this. And maybe this arms race isn't really where we want to play, and maybe adjusting their strategies to be a little bit less latency sensitive, maybe being able to take a little bit more time, a little bit longer time horizon for their trading cycle. And as a result, just by doing that, they could dramatically impact their P&L, because now their hardware upgrade cycle is dramatically lessened as a result. So it seems like there's a bunch of interesting forces at work on that side of the space. You guys obviously play. That's very near and dear to you. That race to zero is very much, or race to close to zero, maybe in your case, is very much the case. Are you guys still seeing as many firms interested in that bleeding edge, ultra low latency tech as there were a few years ago? Or have I mentioned kind of all these other contravailing forces that they kind of maybe put some headwinds against that side of the space?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you, Mark. You know, the game has changed, and it's changed for a number of reasons. You know, not the least of which is it is increasingly expensive to constantly chase that race to zero. At the same time, in a low volatility market, you know, with differing priorities, the environment's changing. And so I would say no. I think at the very top end of the market, you have some firms kind of banding together to try and, you know, team up to create, you know, somewhat of a level playing field, you know, at or near zero, if you want to use that as the benchmark. And then beyond that, again, I think, you know, people are driving to infrastructure efficiencies. And that's, you know, where our business continues to evolve, you know, is how can you use technologies like the cloud to improve your efficiencies so that you can maximize what you want to invest in latency, and then minimize the overall cost structure of your business.
Well, you said it. You said the other buzzword there. See, it's like you've done this before. Natural segue into what I want to talk about next, which is, of course, the cloud. If there's another big buzzword that's been on our tech show for the last couple of years. One was, of course, that latency race to zero. The other is, of course, cloud adoption, or perhaps the lack thereof when you get to the financial services space for a variety of reasons, some of which I just mentioned, regulatory, the cost, and latency. Those have all been huge stumbling blocks to the adoption of clouds. You know, we've seen, you know, AWS and other big players really take broad swaths of other industries and kind of just roll them up because it's an easy adoption. The impediments aren't there. But in the financial services space, there are a number of roadblocks. So as a result, we've really seen slow adoption of cloud as a result. But it sounds like you guys are looking to change that with some new offerings on the cloud space. So why don't you walk us through what you guys are bringing to the table and how it's different from the other cloud offerings we've seen in the financial market so far?
Yeah, I would say we're seeing accelerating adoption of cloud, right? You know, we were just talking earlier about the race to zero and the lowest latency, high frequency trading. And certainly from a front office perspective, you're not going to see applications like that move to the cloud. But that is such a small sliver of the capital markets, which is a small sliver of the whole financial services segment. So I think when you look at that segment much more broadly, today you have cloud native financial services companies like Robinhood that were born in the cloud, right? They don't run traditional legacy infrastructure. They're only running in the cloud. Other companies, very old line information companies, adopting cloud infrastructure models in a very big way, right? We've seen one of the top three global information companies move mission critical applications like ticker plants to public cloud. And of course, one of the challenges that they run into when they do that is the quality of the other things that they need, things like market data, for example, right? So if I'm going to move a ticker plant into Amazon Web Services or Microsoft Azure or some other public infrastructure as a service platform, I still need the native format market data from all of the exchanges that are feeding into that ticker plant. And I don't necessarily want to take that data over a public internet VPN because the public internet can vary in its level of consistency. And so that kind of leads to openings we've seen in the market. One of the specific offerings we brought to market is what we call our ultra fast market data for cloud. So the same native format market data feed that we provide to the lowest latency, high frequency trading firms is now plumbed directly into the cloud at Amazon. It would be plumbed directly over an Amazon Web Services Direct Connect. So that data actually never touches the public internet. It only touches the public infrastructure within the infrastructure as a service provider, in this case, Amazon.
I know that will ease the concerns of a lot of people that we talk to on a regular basis, because obviously that data security, clearly, we're all living, in a post Equifax world, and so that if it wasn't front and center, which it was for a lot of firms in this space, it certainly is now. And so the notion that if you could just make their data out there anyway, touching the public internet, I think there'd be a lot of concern over that. So it sounds like you guys were ahead of the curve on that front. And obviously, you kind of mentioned the speed, but that's always a second stumbling point people always bring up to us. Well, we can't really. You can't really run a lot of cloud yet for a lot of what we do because it's just too much latency. But you said people are moving not just, your typical back office settlement stuff, but it sounds like people are, as you mentioned, moving quote unquote mission critical stuff to the cloud. So the cloud's there now. We've really got it to the point where the latency is acceptable for even what you would consider more, front end type of applications.
Yeah, I think, again, front-end applications that are not latency-sensitive on the execution side, right? But really, even in the high-frequency trading space, we're seeing high-frequency trading firms move, key applications. Again, not the sort of frontline trading applications, but things like their testing environments are moving to an environment where they can spool up a lot more compute resource than they might be able to do in their traditional data center or proximity hosting sites. And so, cloud is becoming a critical component across a broad range of capital markets.
And you mentioned, this is something I'm sure a lot of our listeners will want to clarify, but just you touched on it that this is kind of vendor agnostic. You can be AWS, you could be Azure, you could be Google, and this will play with all of the above.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Again, you've got your challenge as a user of the cloud, right? Today, you're connecting to various counterparties and various information and data sources. And so you've got to make sure that you've got a mechanism to maintain those data sources in your new environment. Today, those data sources are plumbed to your proprietary data center. Tomorrow, they're plumbed to an infrastructure as a service provider's public cloud platform. And so, you know, there are things that you've got to go through and make sure that you're going to be able to get those data sources in the timeliness and quality that you're looking for in the public cloud. But as long as you can do that, you know, we're seeing public cloud really sort of accelerate around those kinds of applications.
And you're right, there are a lot of firms, you know, starting to embrace this technology. You mentioned Robinhood. They're mostly kind of a mobile-based equity trading commissionless app. But we're seeing other players, you know, we've seen a Tradier in the more derivative-centric space. They're pretty much all API-based, so they're all kind of the back end, and you just kind of plug and play them into whatever broker that wants to work with them, and that's kind of, and they design the front end. We're seeing other players, you know, traditionally thick, heavy, you know, application-sensitive type vendors switching, you know, to HTML5 in the cloud. So it does seem like the tipping point, I'm not sure if we're there yet, but the tipping point is getting there. And it sounds like you guys think you guys have the silver bullet that will tip us over the point, do you think?
Well, I think we certainly offer some important components that reduce the friction for financial services firms and capital markets firms' adoption of public cloud to, you know, improve their overall economics.
You know, it's funny. On our trading technology show, we've always had this mythical end game of someday you'll be able to run your quote-unquote prop firm or your fund from the beach, from your smartphone in a beach in Tahiti. You know, and that's always been kind of a ridiculous, absurd example. But, you know, with what you guys are doing and what some other vendors are up to, we're not that far away from it, you know, to the point where you could run, not latency sensitive, but you could run maybe something like a more longer term time horizon prop firm from that proverbial beach in Tahiti, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you'll see, you know, even in strategies where, you know, proximity is required, you'll see core components of those applications, you know, be run out of the cloud.
Now, you touched on one of the hot button issues in the world of fintech and trading technology. That is, of course, market data. It seems like everyone we bring on has an interesting viewpoint. It's very contentious. Some are very pro the more, I guess you can call it, loosely call it, the more West Coast Silicon Valley model where data should be free and open and available to all kind of mindset. Then, of course, you move into the market centers of Chicago and New York and maybe London and other places where you start seeing, wait a minute, this market data clearly has demonstrable value and we're going to silo it off and sell it for the most, you know, revenue we could possibly generate. So there's two very differing and opposing camps. They don't tend to get along very well. I'm curious for you, as someone who, you know, obviously plays in this space and market data is obviously a big core of what you guys provide. Do you see any evolution there between these two camps? Are we getting to a point where maybe, you know, some of the smaller players will be able to have some access to market data so they can maybe create the next new innovative startup out there? They don't have to be a Robin Hood with hundreds of millions of venture or billions in venture funding, you know, kind of thing. But a smaller player with an idea could get access to some data without breaking the bank. Or do you think we're going to be in this siloed walled garden infrastructure for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think, you know, timeliness and quality of data are what, you know, drive cost, right? And so if you require super fast data and high quality data, there's always going to be a fairly significant cost to that. You know, most of our customers, you know, are in that latter camp, the East Coast camp. And so, you know, we're certainly supportive of their businesses and understand, you know, their need to make a business out of market data. And we do our best to support that. By the same token, and I think you'd be surprised, you know, certainly Robinhood has raised an awful lot of money, but you know, it's not as expensive as you might think to be able to, you know, put a Robinhood together these days. And so, you know, I don't think that the market data in particular is the significant hurdle that it might otherwise be. Now, you know, Robinhood does provide real-time market data, and there's a cost to that, as do others, right? But that's not necessarily always required.
Well, Mark, I'm glad we can get you on to do a nice little overview for our listeners of what you guys are working on over there at Appsela. We touched on the platform, we touched on market data and some of the interesting nuances of that space these days. But maybe something we didn't touch on, or maybe you want to leave our listeners with a little bit of hint, a little bit of a tease of what's coming down the pike from you guys. If that's the case, now is the time, sir. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think the cloud's going to continue to evolve. Security concerns have largely been alleviated, and I think you're going to see applications running in cloud, not necessarily all the data stored in cloud, because there are still some concerns and there are regulatory requirements around that. But I think building an application stack that allows you to run applications in your traditional legacy data center and in the cloud at the same time. Creates an environment that, again, can optimize overall economics. And I think you'll see us continue to evolve towards that cloud model.
Well, there you go. If you want to learn more about anything we talked about here today, head on over to Apcela. That's APCELA.com. And Mark, we'll look forward to seeing how your new cloud platforms and some of these other initiatives unfold in the marketplace in the coming months.
Great, Mark. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Great. Thank you.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions at theoptionsinsider.com.